most often produced digitally or well represented digitally. All classrooms have been reconfigured to provide 6 feet of physical distance between each student and faculty, allowing for 6 feet of space to circulate in the classroom. So you won't be on top of one another at all. The rooms will be safe. With physical distancing, most classrooms now hold only 8 to 12 students. So a fully on-campus course that doesn't fit into the classroom will spread out across two classrooms. And then blended courses will have some students on campus some of the time and other students at other times. Or a blended course might make use of the outdoor spaces or larger spaces on campus to meet when they meet for on-campus sessions. All students are expected to return. We are hopeful that travel and visa restrictions will ease, allowing all of our international students to return. If travel or visa restrictions remain in place, we will do our best to ensure that international students are able to continue their studies remotely. We will ensure that as long as it's permitted by the government. Students with documented health conditions for studying online may also be accommodated by working with Dr. Carroll in disability services. Next slide. Accessing technology will be similar to what you've experienced this year, in that we will continue to offer remote access to all of the high-end computing on campus through SplashTop for Macs and Sassafras for PCs. But we will also have the computer labs open. The labs will be physically distanced, so half the computers in a lab will be available for use, and we'll have most of the digital media classes meeting on the ground, and then some of the other computer lab classes as well in the other majors. There are software and hardware discounts published on the Otis website that make it affordable to equip yourself with laptops and software and hardware and at affordable prices. So you could do that as well. We are outfitting the campus with more robust Wi-Fi strength because we know more and more people will be using their own devices as we move into this return to campus. And then of course the help desk will continue their support and be very responsive to your needs. Next slide.
So I'll jump in. My name's Jean Marie Venturini. I'm the director of the Learning Centers, and you probably are most familiar with me in my role of supporting all of you with the Nest, which is our learning management system. So we will continue to use the Nest as our primary course virtual hub. This includes courses that are online or on campus. The Nest will continue to be a resource for you to find course content and information such as your syllabi and additional content. So if you've not yet done so, I'm just gonna plug the Pulse app. Please download the Pulse app. There's some great tools that will help you track your requirements for your different classes and stay on top of that digital coursework. And then segueing to that, if we could go to the next slide. I also wanted to share that our Student Learning Center will continue to run academic support both online and on campus. So starting fall, you will have the option to return to appointments on campus. You can continue making appointments online as well. So we'll keep both of those services open. And when you go to the Student Learning Center website, you'll be able to make an appointment and specify your preference if you'd like to meet online or on campus. So we can go to the next slide.
Hello, my name is Heather Cleary, and I'm the interim director of the library. The library will continue to be physically open in the fall. We hope to allow more people in to our space. We are still going to provide remote access as much as possible to our books, journals, and research resources. And we will also still be giving reference help in person, which we're not doing right now, but in person, as well as email, phone, Zoom, and chat.
The shops, labs, and studios, which we've been able to keep open all year, will of course continue to be open. We will continue to use the 25 Live app for reservations, and that's to ensure that we don't have too many people in the spaces at one time. And then all of the safety protocols will be in place as well. The shops and labs initiated an online files submission for 3D printing, the laser cutter, CNC, large format digital printing, and screen and plate exposure in the printmaking lab and letterpress lab. And so you can send your files in and then pick up the product later, which allows for more distance in the lab spaces. The workplace at the Ben Maltz is a really beautiful place. The picture here on the upper right is that space. So you can see there are individual studios that have been constructed in the Ben Maltz gallery. And we really encourage people to use that when we return. It's really beautiful space. TSS folks will continue to put together take home kits for classes that will be held online, studio courses that will be held online. And then they've been very responsive all year and will continue to use Teams to give real time support as you work through your projects.
It's my turn. Sorry, I was answering some of the questions. So it's perfect. I was just answering a question about the Otis Forward website. Someone was asking if these slides would be available. Yes, we will post these slides on the Otis Forward website, which, by the way, if you haven't checked it out, and it is, thank you, Yoy, for posting the link in the chat. I encourage you to go to the Otis Forward website. It has had an overhaul since you last remember the site weeks ago, months ago. And this is going to be our main source of providing information to everyone. Please check out the site. In the next few months, as things change, we'll continue to put information. We also are recording this session right now. And so we'll post the recording on the Otis Forward website as well. In addition, all of you will be expected to sign what we're calling an informed consent form. And what this form has is it has different modules and training, small videos that you all will be expected to watch. And then I need you to sign the informed consent before the first day of class. You will receive an email and notice when the consent form is ready and available to you. And we just ask that all students sign it before you return to classes in fall. Thank you. What's next?
All right, it's me. So hi, I'm Dr. Julie Spencer. I'm the director and on-site physician at the Student Health and Wellness Center. So we have been available and open during this entire time for all of your medical needs, and we will continue and we will be welcoming you back in the fall. We will have the same hours of 9 a.m. to 4:30. However, the door will be unlocked and you do not have to call ahead to have a telehealth appointment. We will still be offering some telehealth appointments. So we have noticed that there is a role of telehealth moving forward. So we will still have those available. We also will continue to have COVID-19 testing available for any students who become symptomatic. For any students that are identified as a close contact of somebody with COVID, and possible surveillance testing of asymptomatic folks. I've gotten a lot of questions about the COVID vaccine, and we have made leaps and bounds and strides that are incredible regarding this COVID vaccine over the last year nationwide. So as you all know, the COVID-19 vaccine is now more readily available, and in California, starting on April 15th, in California and in LA County, any adult age 16 and over will now be eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine. With that being said, and with the vaccine now more available for everybody, we're looking to require the COVID vaccine for every student, whether they are living in housing or not, when they return in the fall. We will be accepting out-of-state vaccines. We are still working and looking for guidance from LA County and from the CDC and also the state regarding international vaccines. So stay tuned regarding that. And we are also working very closely with LA County so that we ourselves can receive our allocation of the vaccine so we can be readily available to hand it out and be able to inoculate our students. So we're hoping to get our first batch coming up very soon. And in the fall, we're hoping that that's gonna be just kind of a norm, is to have the COVID-19 vaccine available for everyone. The Co-Verified app that we have been using for students who are coming onto campus and our current residential students, we will still be using, but will only be used for those who are not vaccinated against COVID-19. A little caveat and a little asterisk is that we are accepting exemptions from the COVID-19 vaccine and the requirement, and those are for medical exemptions, religious or philosophical reasons. So if you have any questions regarding those, please feel free to email us at studenthealth@otis.edu, or you can give us a call and we'll also have more information on our website. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is James Burks. I'm the counseling director for Student Counseling Services. And so we also will continue to be open come fall and providing free confidential counseling services to students. So come fall, we're going to go based off of, you know, what our current guidelines are. So currently right now we're offering virtual appointments. As soon as restrictions are lifted where we don't have to social distance anymore, we'll go back to in-person. But like Dr. Spencer said, we'll also allow for virtual appointments as well. We also still have same-day crisis appointments that are available. So if students in crisis, that'll all be available. Students can walk in, be triaged, and be seen. We will also continue with our drop-in workshops where students can just drop in and for our specific counseling related workshops. And we also will have private rooms available by request. So if by fall we're still doing more virtual appointments and you need a space on campus to have your appointment with your counselor, we'll be providing a private room space where you can go to and have that session.
Hi, everyone. I'm Morgan Brown. I'm the Director of Residence Life and Housing. So for this upcoming year, we will be moving to just having two housing locations. Our continuing students will primarily be housed at Park West with our foundation students in the residence hall. We have gotten quite a few questions around Ascent. So if you are a current student living with us at Ascent, we will not be bringing students back through housing. But the Ascent Leasing Office is very aware that students have been very happy with the location and are willing to work with students. So students can still live at Ascent on their own working with the leasing office. We will just continue to house students at Park West and the residence hall. Students who are living with us will be sharing a room. So it will be two students per bedroom, and that's in both Park West and the residence hall. And so four students will be sharing the entire suite or apartment. We do have some rooms offline in case we do have a student who does need to isolate or quarantine. So we have pulled some rooms offline to reserve those just in case. But as Dr. Spencer mentioned, we do plan on having a required vaccine for everyone living in housing as well as attending OTIS. A big question that we also have been receiving are our guests and visitors allowed? We are limiting that to only residential students. So if you make some friends on your floor or on the floor above, you're welcome to interact with them in your space, but we are asking that only residential students are entering the spaces, so no external guests. That does not apply for move-in day. Students will still be allowed up to two guests to assist them with the move-in process, but we are asking that only residential students are visiting other residential students. You can go to the next slide, please. Students living in the residence hall are required to have a meal plan, and foundation students living at Park West are required at least a 10 meal plan. And so I'm also going to talk about just some dining initiatives as that is required. We are planning on having both Elaine's and the Rose Hill Cafe open with directed entrances. So it will be a one-way entrance just to kind of help with the flow of traffic. We are planning on having all stations open, but monitoring the guidelines about any of the self-serving stations. So those may be limited, but there will be staff there to help serve any of those stations. All of the staff, Bon Appetit staff, will be trained on health and safety measures. So taking all of those precautions while working in Elaine's or the cafe. We do plan on having indoor dining open, but we will be following all the county guidelines in regards to how many people can be in there, as well as seating outside for anybody looking to eat outdoors. This year, we also implemented the Get mobile app, where you can actually pre-order food beforehand. And so food will still be able to be ordered through the Get app. It's prepared, so you can just go and pick up. And we will be bringing back the commuter meal plan. So if you are not planning on living with us, but are looking at still purchasing a commuter meal plan, we will be bringing those back for students as well.
Hi, everyone. I'm Erica Javidzad. I'm the Director of Student Activities. We are super excited to reopen and continue our in-person on-campus programming for our students in fall. We know our students are anticipating engaging in our Otis Owl campus life again. There are so many ways to get involved. One way is to join a club or organization. Right now, we have over 20 clubs to choose from. And every year, of course, students have the opportunity to start their own club. So if you're thinking about becoming a student leader and starting your own club, this is a great time. Students are really excited to engage and meet other students in person as well. Also, our Campus Activities Board, which is a student-run organization, is also looking forward to facilitating in-person events, of course, following updated county guidelines. And our orientation will take place on campus while social distancing and capacity guidelines are still in force. I did see a question about how this year's foundation students are going to be getting oriented to campus, because many of them have not been on campus before. And so we're currently planning a sophomore orientation session for these students, which will take place in August before before classes begin. So please check your emails as more information about that orientation becomes available. Our Student Life Center on campus will also be open when classes start, so students can come in, connect with student leaders and their peers, and use the space while, of course, still complying with the CDC guidelines in the space. In regards to our food pantry program will be up and running. We do have a new digital form that students will need to fill out to request assistance. All students who need it will be able to access the food pantry services. And you can always reach out to me for more details about this at any time. Or you can visit our basic needs page or check your forms on your dashboard in order to find the form and apply. Our resource exchange will also be open. For those of you who are not familiar with our resource exchange, it was created so that students can have more access to materials and resources for their projects. So sometimes students or community members would leave their extra materials for others who can come and take them and use them. And so this program reduces waste, saves students money. So this will also be available for students when we are reopening.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Katie Nunez. I'm the Assistant Director of Career Education in the Office of Career Services. And today we are excited to also welcome you back. We will continue to make all of our services available, whether they're held virtually, in person, or in hybrid format. And that includes our one-on-one counseling, career workshops, employer recruiting opportunities, panel discussions, and our online job and internship board. So here are some examples of some companies that have been actively recruiting with us this year, to the left, to take a look. And then, of course, This will all be based on guidelines. And so for those who are wondering about student employment and how to get a job on campus, all of our job postings for all on-campus jobs will be on the online job board. There will be options for remote and in-person work that will be available to all students to apply to. And of course, the expectations of all student workers on campus is to follow all health and safety guidelines. But we are excited to offer this opportunity to all of you and increase those things that are happening on campus. Thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Yoi Tanaka. I'm the Interim Dean of Enrollment Management here at Otis. And this slide is specifically for our international students. I know some of you are in the United States, some of you are back at home in your home country, and you might have a lot of questions about, you know, current travel restrictions and kind of visa issuance timelines if you don't have an active visa. So students that do have an active visa should plan to be back on campus this fall. If you're currently in the United States, you know, we recommend that you don't leave during the summer break because there are currently travel restrictions, specifically right now for countries like China and Brazil that may still be in effect for the fall semester. Students that don't have an active visa currently, you do need to submit your documents to the one-stop so an I-20 can be issued for you and you can apply for your visa starting in early May. If you've already been issued an I-20, we are currently in the process of reissuing them right now, and we will be sending those out via email as well as by postal expedited mail. Currently, we are kind of monitoring embassy reopenings as well as those travel restrictions and do remain hopeful for the fall semester. However, if any of those travel restrictions or visa issuance issues continue, then we do anticipate being permitted to offer remote learning. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Natasha Kaprinsky. I'm a director of Student Financial Services. I'm sure at any point you met with our team and they've been available for online or prior to 2020 in person. So we'll continue being available to help you to deal with financial challenges and respond to your questions. At this point, what is available for your review is all your renewable aid has been transferred, rolled to the upcoming year. So you can review it. I encourage you to go and review your financial aid awards. That include institutional awards and maybe state awards for domestic students. We also processed federal awards and state awards for students who completed free application for federal student aid, FAFSA. And again, those are the students who completed the application and completed all financial aid requirements. Please log on in your dashboard and review your financial awards to see if it meets your financial needs and plan accordingly. If you haven't completed your financial aid requirements, make sure that you understand and know what needs to be completed because the financial aid will not be offered without all completed financial requirements. If you have any questions, one-stop team or Student Financial Services can respond to your questions. Please don't hesitate to contact us. Now, we may offer you financial aid, but it's critical that you review and accept financial awards. Otherwise, those awards will not be disbursed when you expect the funds to be disbursed. And right now for the fall 21, it's scheduled to be disbursed on August 23rd. We know that 2020 was very challenging and aid is very important. And we understand that it's not over. The way Otis supports students in financial need, we process significantly more aid than it was processed before. We are talking about institutional aid. Also, there are a lot of families whose financial situation has changed. please make sure if that's your situation that you contacted Student Financial Services and we'll review your situation and make sure that you maximize your aid so you can focus on your educational goals instead of how to pay for this. So my simple reminders would be make sure you log in dashboard and review your financial aid awards and financial aid requirements. Make sure that you've chosen e-refunds is the quickest way to have funds delivered to your bank account and with no risk that it's gonna be lost on the way to you in the mail. Take advantage of our payment plans. If you start early, you may choose the 5 payment plan and it'll be available till July 5th. If you need any assistance, we know there are a lot of challenges. Please, please contact us. We're available. It's not one fits all. We want to make sure that what we have to offer and what we can offer will work the best for you.
All right, thank you everyone. Such a great presentation. So now we'll transition into Q&A, and I love all the questions we've been getting, and panelists, please continue to answer those, but we'll start to do some questions live. So as you have questions, just keep putting them in Q&A. So we'll jump into the first question, and I wanna share that we are joined by Steve McQueen and James Valencia, who lead our campus safety and security team. So welcome. I wanna toss you a question. About safety in general, and it talked about the Westchester Park and safety of our community. So maybe Steve or James, you just want to talk about our community and safety around our campus.
Sure. Thank you for introducing us. So safety is important right now. I know there is a lot of activities going on at the park across the street. You know, we're here 24/7 after hours. If you are studying late, using shops or labs, and you do live at Park West, we do provide a walking escort either to your vehicle in the parking structure or across the street to Park West. But if you do see suspicious activities happening outside or when you're outside the campus, you can still notify us or call Los Angeles Police Department Pacific Division. They'll send an officer over. James, would you like to continue any other?
Yes. Also, please don't be a stranger to any of our officers. We are very friendly, and like Chief McQueen stated, anytime you do need an escort back to your residence or vehicle, feel free to ask. We are here to support you and take care of all your safety measures. Also, come in just to have a cup of coffee so we can talk to you and get to know you.
And real quick too, on the LiveSafe application, if you do download that application, you can share your, if you do walk for walking escorts with a family member or friend, where you can notify them that you made it safe. If not, it would alert either your friend or even us in dispatch that you need help, any kind of assistance, you can text us or call us using that application.
Also, once you do have that LiveSafe app, you can actually apply for your parking permit on the LiveSafe app. I just answered a couple questions to you. All you go down is under resources and apply for the parking. Parking is free. So please take advantage of that, especially in LA. Parking is, pretty scarce. So I suggest that you apply for that and take advantage of that.
That's great. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, James. Nick, could you stop sharing slides so then we can, everyone can see the panelists more. That would be great. Thank you. All right, the next question. What safety measures can we guarantee? It's a multi-part question. And then if you feel uncomfortable with in-person, can you do hybrid? And then how will social distancing be handled, like in the cafeteria and other areas? So we touched upon it a little bit in our presentation, but Joanne, do you wanna talk about if a student's uncomfortable in hybrid classes?
Sure, so we're hoping that, as the conditions improve that people become more and more comfortable as vaccines become more available. And we see, the transmission rates going down, that each passing week, people become more and more comfortable. So we're anticipating that every student will come back to campus and expecting that only international students who are restricted because of travel or visa restrictions will be accommodated through some type of remote instruction, and also students with documented health conditions that require online study as well. So we are not planning to accommodate other reasons for not returning.
Thank you, Joanne. And what I would share and add is, please, if you are uncomfortable, talk to us one-on-one. You know, I'm available, Nick is available, Dr. Spencer, we can walk through kind of what we need to ensure your return to campus to help you feel safe. So please reach out to us. Regarding safety measures, regardless of what happens as far as the different color tiers or as the county perhaps becomes more relaxed and the state of California opens up more, OTIS will continue to keep the high standard of cleaning and safety. So even if California reopens, as we heard the governor say, June 15th, for those of you that are in California, we still are going to keep the same high-level cleaning protocols, access to sanitizer, expect everyone to clean their spaces when we leave, to physically distance by 6 feet. You know, we really want to make sure that we are ensuring everyone's health. So we are going to keep a high standard on that. And then the question asked about in the dining hall, and Morgan, you spoke about that. What I will share and underscore is that the Get app, which Morgan referred to, what I call is equivalent to like a Grubhub or DoorDash. I encourage you, if you have a cell phone, you can order your food, then you're not waiting in line at all in the dining hall. You can just go get in, pick up your food, and then go ahead, and there'll be a limited outdoor seating, and I believe some indoor seating, but again, with distance. So great. Anyone want to add anything to that question before we
move? Yeah, I would just say that in the dining, they've already queued up, you know, how door queuing is going to happen, and they have sticker spaces for lines, et cetera, similar to what you may experience when you're out and about right now. So they've really enhanced that level of monitoring capacity, even with people who are doing walk-ins. So we're all prepared for that.
That's great, thank you. Julie, there's some questions about international students and vaccines, and will vaccines be accepted? Do you wanna answer that?
Yeah, I was just answering another question that I was typing, I'm sorry. Yes, so international students, we do know that in other countries, there are other vaccines that are available. So we actually put a call out to Los Angeles County Department of Public Health regarding this and regarding the acceptance of other country vaccines, because we know that they're not the ones that are FDA approved here. So please stay tuned. You know, there are other options. We can possibly do antibody testing to see if you have antibodies against COVID. You know, if everybody, or excuse me, if the CDC in California and LA Department of Public Health says that we can accept other vaccines from other countries, then we will do so. So right now it's still undetermined. And so please stay tuned for more information regarding that.
Great, thank you. Here's this question. Morgan, it's a good question. Will those be allowed to get a vaccine who are helping students move in? So will guardians who are helping students move in have access to the vaccine?
I'm going to send that question.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Because I said move in. I know. Go ahead, Julie.
So it will really depend on our supply. So right now in California and in LA County, yes, we are opening eligibilities for more folks to become eligible to receive the vaccine. There is still a small trickle of vaccine supply. So there is not a huge flood of vaccine supply. So it really will depend on our supply if we can make available vaccine for loved ones or family members or others who are moving in. So it will really depend on that.
That's great, thank you. And then Erica, there's a few questions about what the sophomore orientation is going to look like. Do you want to talk in more detail about what the sophomore orientation will look like? One of the questions is, will the sophomore orientation have the same activities as would have had the previous year?
It will not have the same But some of them will be the same. For example, you will get oriented to campus. You will have access to getting a tour, things like that. And you can also engage in some of the activities that the foundation students will also be engaged in. But we are currently planning that with our orientation work group. So details right now are not fully finalized. So when we do finalize it, we will be contacting you all with the schedule. And we're hoping to do something during that orientation week and to add activities about building community and making connections as well.
Great. Thank you, Erica. Julie, I'm going to toss another vaccine question to you. Is there an expiration date for a vaccine? And if someone was vaccinated in March, is it relevant or valid? Really good question.
Yeah, so it's a great question. And right now, all the research is coming in that the vaccines do have longevity. I've heard stuff about Pfizer 6 months, possibly a year. We do not know yet if it is going to look like we are going to need booster shots. I think the research is showing that we possibly will need annual booster shots. But as of right now, there's nothing saying that if you got the vaccine 3 months ago that you need to get another one. So we continually have conversations with LA Department of Public Health, constantly looking at the CDC site. So, you know, as more information, more research comes on, we will let everybody know. But as of right now, there does not look to be any kind of expiration that folks need a booster shot. Great question.
Great. Steve and James, I'm going to toss two questions to you. One, is there a designated area for Uber or Lyft? And then second, will the RVs parked outside the parking structure be removed in the fall?
That's a good question about the Uber or Lyft, but most of the time we do have the visitor parking spots inside the parking structure where they can are welcome to pull in and just wait for the student or staff member or faculty member. The RVs right now, we're currently working with the City of Los Angeles Department of Transportation in order to get them to move. It is a process. We do have a homeless population occurring right now in the City of LA. We're unfortunately, we are working with the council members as well to try to get them involved, and but we are trying.
Yeah, at this time, like Chief Quinn stated, it is a process. But once again, if you do feel unsafe and need escorts to your vehicles, to your home across the street from Park West, or even an escort across the street to Rouse, we can provide that service for you.
Great, thank you. Julie, I'm tossing it back to you. More vaccine questions. I think it's a good question. If a student has an exemption, and again, the exemption is medical, religious, or philosophical, are they allowed to live in the residence hall?
Oh yeah, so I just answered that question. Okay. So absolutely, you can still live in OTA-sponsored housing in the dorms and in the apartments. You must complete an exemption form. We have a separate one for medical exemption and another one for religious or philosophical exemption. However, we will go over this exemption with you that if in an event that there is an outbreak in the dorms or in the apartment, we would have to go over the kind of instructions and the measures that those who are unvaccinated will have to go through if that happens. So if somebody lives in a dorm and we know that there is COVID in that area, that person who is unvaccinated will have to be moved to an isolation unit. And that we can go in more detail with an individual student. But yes, you can still participate in activities and live in housing.
Great. And while you're talking about vaccinations, when will you let students know when the vaccination is available?
Yeah, so we're hopeful that we will be getting vaccine very soon. As I mentioned, it is a slow trickle. We are, I'm talking with LA County all the time about when we can get our first allocation of the vaccine. We are hoping that come fall, it will be much easier to get the vaccine. Just right now in these initial stages, it is a little bit more difficult. But once we get the vaccine, we will email, we will blast it on our Instagram. We will put it in this week and we will absolutely let everybody know when we have it available. And I'm sure this will be the next question is, What vaccine we will have available, that is out of our hands. Unfortunately, LA County will just give us what they have available. So I can't request Johnson & Johnson or Pfizer or Moderna. I will just get whatever they have available in stock during that time.
Great, thank you. Nick, I want to toss a question to you. Nick serves on our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Council, and there's a question about the anti-Asian situation, and is it in Los Angeles? Do you want to address how we're supporting our Asian American students and what work we're doing around the climate right now?
Sure. And I read the question, the anti-Asian sentiment severe. And I would say the awareness around the anti-Asian sentiment that's, you know, hitting us nationally, locally, and internationally, we are aware of, we're supporting our students in terms of taking a verbal stance with them, also making sure that we're educating our faculty, staff, and other student populations around how to develop and create more inclusive spaces and support our community. And we will continue to program and support for those student populations and all of those historically marginalized student populations who may be struggling around various intersections of their own identities. And so we're very well aware, very much educated and knowledgeable around how to support students in that way. And what I don't wanna share, meaning like, I know the question is it severe in LA? I can't answer that in terms of, is it severe? Is it something that has come up in LA? Absolutely. Are there local community activism, student activism around how to dismantle some of that? Absolutely. And so we are being able, we're keeping our ear to the ground and making sure that we're supporting our students in that way. And if you are a student who might struggle or experience any anti-Asian sentiment or witness that, we have a bias incident response program where we ask students and anybody to report formally so we can address issues formally with students, faculty, staff, or any external members of our community. So we have a pretty solid system on how we respond to those issues.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. This is a great question. Someone who is not planning on living housing is curious if they will have access to laundry facilities to clean clothes or to clean supplies, because they're just concerned about cleanliness and safety. You know, I think it's a really good question. Morgan, what do you think?
In the residence hall, we do have laundry facilities, same with Park West. However, those are only reserved for our students living in residence. So there's not necessarily a place to do laundry on campus. But I believe that some of the makerspaces have sinks in them. So if you do need to wash off supplies or items such as that, there are spaces around campus for that, just not anywhere to do laundry per se.
Yeah, you know, and Erica, we might consider looking, there are local laundry mats in walking distance. We might consider just sharing that as a resource on a website for students. So if you have a break between classes and you want to walk and wash something, you could do that. So that's something we could easily provide and share with you. So it looks like we have answered 74 questions, and Joanne is in the process of answering two more. Thank you, Joanne. So we're kind of down with no more questions. Are there any more questions? If so, feel free to put them in the Q&A and I'll wait.
Laura, it looks like a new question just popped up.
Correct. It's about senior show and in person. I believe, Joanne, you've answered that in the answered category, but do you want to go ahead and answer it verbally as well?
Sure. It is too soon to be able to know what next spring will look like, but I will say that we're committed, very committed to providing the kind of end of year experience that students have been used to. We know that that's a really valuable, rich, important event, the end of year exhibition. And so we are very committed to getting back on the ground in a way that is safe. So I expect, putting myself out on the line, I expect that we will be able to do something on campus next spring.
Yeah, and I'll just jump in and say, I know that LA County has also been sharing, right, Dr. Spencer, like in the future of concerts and indoor theater shows. We're gonna have to look at that guidance and what unfolds there that will actually help drive what that looks like for next year. But it is too soon, but I'm just as hopeful as Joanne.
Great, thank you. And then Nick or Erica, did you wanna talk about commencement? There was a question about, I think the second part of that was about commencement and graduation and how many people can attend.
Yes, for the next, talking about for next year and that same question. Yeah, I think that's why I was mentioning about the concert venues and the indoor kind of theater shows that they're starting to determine guidelines around that over this later this summer. So we'll watch that. And our hope would be to follow those guidelines, move toward a traditional in-person commencement. If we have to limit people because of the capacity, we will have to do that, but we will do the best we can to make this as open as possible for our families and students and friends.
Thank you, that's great. I'm just looking at, we have more questions coming in. So the question, Dr. Spencer, I've seen this, I believe you might've answered it, but it was if, you know, what are we gonna do to support an international student who tests positive for COVID? So maybe just talk about isolation and quarantine for any student who tests positive.
Yeah, so we support any student, whether they're international or domestic, when they test positive. First of all, we do offer COVID testing if somebody becomes symptomatic or feels symptomatic or has an exposure. And if the student is found to be positive and they live in OTA-sponsored housing, we do have isolation units that we have set aside that the student will be moved to, and the student will be followed very closely by our case management team, which includes somebody from the Student Health and Wellness, somebody from Counseling Services, and somebody from Res Life that will aid to help get the student food that they've needed, laundry, trash, et cetera, and then medical and counseling, we will be checking in on students. For students who live off campus, we will work with them to give them as much instruction as possible on how to isolate within their own place. So as of right now, we do not offer isolation units for students that live not in OTA-sponsored housing to come onto campus, but we will give you as much as many resources as possible on how to isolate, and we will continue to follow you very closely while you're sick or while you're positive.
That's great. And then I think it's also a question, Dr. Spencer, about vaccinations and that if OTIS doesn't have the vaccination, how will students know, like, where do they get the vaccination in California, et cetera?
Yes, absolutely. And we're hopeful that we will have the vaccine, but we will have lots of resources and help students to get the vaccine in other places outside of OTIS. You know, LA County is great where they've opened lots of places, local pharmacies, CVS, Ralph's. There are lots of places that we can get students vaccinated, and say that a student gets their first dose of, say, Moderna at home in Texas, and then they move in and they need to get their second dose of Moderna and want to get it with us, but for some reason that month or that week we have Pfizer, we will help and we will work with the student to make sure that we set them up with an appointment at a location where they can get the Moderna vaccine. So we will work with students and we will keep everybody abreast as far as where vaccines will be available.
Great, thank you, Dr. Spencer. This question, it feels like the environment at school in fall will be very restrictive. If California's open up on 6/15 as planned, with many of the proposed restrictions being removed, many colleges are much more open at that present time. So of course, we're gonna follow the guidance by Los Angeles County and what's happening in the state of California. But I wanna be clear that while we are managing spaces in the classroom, in the shops and labs, the college will be open for students to come and go, right? So we're gonna manage seating, we're gonna manage dining, and we're managing distancing, but students will be able to come and go, hang out in the commons. You know, we just really wanna make sure that we're managing the spaces. But as LA County and the state of California changes those requirements, we will follow suit. Do you wanna add anything to that, Dr. Spencer?
No, absolutely. You answered it perfectly.
Okay, great. There's a question about summer school financial aid. It says, where will we find summer school program financial aid housing be found on the website? So Natasha, do you want to tackle that?
I can respond. It's usually done by the admission. If there are any scholarship offers for the summer term, for the summer, is it for the summer term? Maybe I misunderstood the question. Let me read it.
I think it's a continuing students that will be taking classes during the summer. And there will be about financial aid for housing.
Yeah. For the summer term, it's going to be the same financial aid as you normally have for the fall or spring. It's an equal semester, consider equal semester. If you enroll full-time, half-time, so the financial aid will be adjusted accordingly. Federal aid usually provides maximum to full-time. For scholarships, you require to be full-time to get the full amount. State aid also gets prorated if it's less than full-time. Other than that, it's exactly the same approach as it would be for the fall.
Great, thank you. Looks like Dr. Spencer, you're answering the question about if a student gets sick and how do they engage in their courses. So look for that answer. Morgan, do you wanna answer the dining hall for Elaine's? Will all the food be prepackaged? Will there still be several options like we had previous years? How will that work? Also, will the cafe be open?
So the cafe will be open. Sorry, the question went away. And so
I'm so sorry.
The cafe will be open. There will be prepackaged food, but that is not the only option. Students will still have the grill option, the classic station, the self-serve stations may be a little adjusted. So they may be doing some prepackaged salads just to limit that exposure. But right now we still have the dining hall open. Students just have to use the gap, but you can still order, your chicken fingers and fries. I know it's a very popular one, but then also the classic station. So you will have those options available. They really want it to be that same experience.
That's great.
And thank Laura, you. My question I actually wanted to answer live and also with Joanne to help. So the question was, in the event that a student gets sick with flu or COVID or another illness but feels well enough to participate in class, will they be accommodated with an online recording or Zoom viewing of their in-person class? So first of all, if somebody is sick with COVID, they will not be allowed to take in-person classes at that time. If somebody is diagnosed with COVID, they will have to be in isolation and will not be allowed to come to campus. Joanne, if you want to answer that second part, that if a student is in, say, isolation, cannot come into campus, how they can keep up with their schoolwork.
Sure. So it's not certain that we would be able to provide video recordings for all classes, in the event that someone is ill, but we would accommodate. So we would find a way to ensure that you know what was covered in the course, know how to catch yourself up, perhaps meet with the faculty one-on-one. So there would be, steps taken to help you continue to make progress in your course.
Great, thank you. So our last question, and there's one more. It says, my son is taking a creative action class. So how will that work? Is there housing? So I'm not sure if you're talking like the summer creative action, but Morgan, maybe you just want to talk about summer housing is available. How is it?
Yeah, so we do offer summer housing. It will be at Park West. The application is now available on Rest Center. There is no application fee. So if you are looking at continuing to live with us over the summer, you can log into Rest Center, fill out the summer application, and more information will be sent soon to students just regarding summer assignments. I'm not sure if there are more specific questions around there, but if you do have questions, I can put my email in the chat so you have that.
Great. And then Heather, I'm gonna toss you a question. We haven't given you a question. We noticed that Park West doesn't have desks. What happened to it? Oh, can my daughter sit in the library to participate in our online classes? So I think that's a great question. Heather, do you maybe want to talk about kind of the shared spaces in the library and how they can be utilized?
Yes, right now we have tables available. They're by appointment only using 25 Live. We expect to be doing the same in the fall, but we're still working on that process. Great. But for the summer, for right now, yes, you can make an appointment and come to the library.
Okay, great. Okay, good. And Joanne, you're answering about the creative action class. So let me see this one. It says, what will be the school's procedure in case of a student experience a severe COVID symptoms that require hospitalization and serious treatment? Just curious if the student health insurance will cover this. Dr. Spencer?
Just reading the question. Sure. School's procedure in case of student experience COVID. So the student health insurance, which is an Anthem PPO plan, does cover anything COVID related, I believe 100%. That was the case in the beginning of COVID and currently. So with everything changing, and with the new plan year, we will double check, but currently the student health insurance does cover this.
Great, thank you. So this will be our last question since we are past the 7 o'clock hour. Are there cases where a vaccine exemption can or will be denied?
So exemptions will be done on a case-by-case basis. And the way that exemptions work is that for a medical exemption, the form actually needs to be filled out by the student and by a medical provider. And then a religious and philosophical exemption needs to be filled out with a student and then reviewed with one of the student health and wellness center staff. So it will be a conversation. It's never going to be stamped a denied or approved. It's always a conversation between us and the student.
Great, thank you. And then again, someone asked a question. They're struggling finding information about housing. Morgan Brown and her email is in the chat. She will be your point of contact for housing, but I also encourage you to go to the housing website. Anything else, Morgan, you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to figure out through that question, is it a question related to financial aid or if it's a question related to the actual housing application or what housing looks like? So if you just give some clarification, I think that would help be able to make sure that we're directing you to the correct person.
But and it sounds like they responded in the Q&A, it's both. So it's financial aid, but also just housing information.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, you can contact Morgan or Natasha who runs Student Financial Services. They'll both be able to help. Julie, you answered it about the health insurance deadline. You all are answering these quick. And Jean Marie, you're answering the last question. So I think we're out of time. Thank you so much. Please, if our information is on the OTIS Forward website, you're welcome to email or call us at any time. I appreciate all the questions. We will have another reopening session on Friday during the day, April 9th. So this Friday, we'll be doing another session. So if you think of other questions, feel free. You can join us again Friday for our reopening session. So have a wonderful evening. Thank you to my panelists for spending your evening with us. And we will see you back on campus in fall. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.